Kia ora and hello. I'm Rizwan. Welcome, friends, to Women's Voices on Planet FM 104.6 FM. Our guest today is Sneha Paul. She's a migrant from India, and we are going to listen to her success story. Welcome, Sneha.
Hi, Rizwan. It's a pleasure being here.
Sneha, being a migrant, how long you have been here?
I've been in New Zealand for the last 2 years. I came here in 2002.
And what are your, you know, impressions of New Zealand and life as a migrant?
Honestly, I love it. It was difficult when I first started because everything was so different from where I come from. But in the last couple of years, I think I've managed to integrate quite well. And I like the standard of living here. And also the fact that I can achieve whatever I set my eyes on is something that I love.
When you say it's different from where you come, what is the difference like?
I came from southern India. And for one, the weather. I love the weather in New Zealand as opposed to the heat in India. And I also like the fact that you don't have to fight for everything that you need here. If you want even a driver's license, you just go and get it. But in India, I found that it's long queues and taking forever. And that's one thing that I love about New Zealand.
So you feel there are achievable goals here?
Yes, of course, definitely.
And easier to live.
Definitely, absolutely easier to live. When I came to here, I came to Auckland by myself. I did not know even one person in New Zealand personally. And I landed at this airport and everything was so different. So my first thought was, what am I doing here? But then eventually I thought to myself, if I am not going to support myself, if I'm not going to get ahead, no one else is going to do it for me. So I started working in a new place, and I enrolled at AUT studying communications. And initially it was very different because the education system is different from where I come from. But eventually I think I'm graduating next month, so I think I've made it and I like it.
So Sneha, when you landed here, you said everything was different. What was different?
The people, the language, the way people interacted with each other, because in India I knew everyone, so I could always say, hey, how's it going to everyone. But here I think people are more reserved. You don't often go to your neighbor's house and say, I'm coming for dinner today, but in India you would always be able to do so. So I miss that about India, because it's more of a community-oriented society than New Zealand is, and I still miss that about India. Yes?
Did you miss the English? Was it easy to understand what people were talking on phone?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't very difficult for me because I had studied English all my life, but I'm still think a few letters like E and R and words like that were very difficult. So instead of hell, they would say hill, and I wouldn't understand that. But apart from that, I was able to manage quite well.
That's great to know that. That's good. Okay. And then how did you go about? Was it easy to get a job?
No, it wasn't. I found that my accent was quite bad. That's what I felt. I thought it was quite hard, and that's why I wasn't able to get a job. So what I did, I mean, I got jobs in places like Burger King and the Sky City, and I didn't necessarily like what I was doing because I had studied so much, and working like that, honestly, was very disappointing. So I thought the best option would be to enroll at a university. So I came to AUT, the Auckland University of Technology, and they enrolled me at their communications course because that's what I have a passion for. And over the year, I think I've improved quite well. And I also worked at AUT's public relations department, which gave me a better perspective on what people look at here and how I need to go about if I were to succeed in New Zealand.
Oh, and that worked.
Yes, it did.
Because I cannot make out that your accent is absolutely Kiwi-like.
Thank you. I think it takes hard work. People come here quite often, and I find people sticking on to their own communities, which is good. I'm proud to be an Indian ethnicity, but I also believe that New Zealand is my new country, and if I want to be a full-bred New Zealander, I need to be able to integrate to the society, and I would encourage every migrant out there to be able to do so.
Okay. And what about residence, housing? Was it difficult to get a place to live?
Initially, yes, because I didn't know anyone, but I did know one person from India who referred me to his son who lives in New Zealand. So I lived with them initially, and I started going to a church by my house, and they offered me board for a while. And that's how I managed to make quite a lot of friends, because in a community as a church, you find lots of people. And that's how I got to know a lot of people. And they basically took care of me for the first year.
Okay. And then housing was no problem. Now
it was difficult in a sense that you always, when you're living in someone else's house, it's not your house. So it's always someone else's terms. And I'm quite an independent person, and I kind of got fed up of it after a bit. So I moved in with 4 flatmates, and it's in Ponsonby, and it's quite good.
You're happy with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What about driving? Do you drive?
I haven't driven for the last 2 years. I've just started taking lessons recently. So hopefully I should get my license in 5 weeks.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. All the best for that.
Thank you.
Were you driving in India?
Not very much. I used to drive around the block, but not at very fast speeds. And that's why I'm taking lessons, because in a motorway you have to drive 100K. And I don't want to do it irresponsibly, so I'm taking lessons for it.
How do you like when other drivers, like, is there any difference in the driving that was in at home and here?
Yes, it is. The speed is definitely very different. And when I first came to New Zealand, I had a car, and a 19-year-old student came and bashed into my car, and that's why I don't have a car anymore. So I honestly believe that we should set the speed limits of students. At least he was driving 150K in a 50K zone. I don't know how he did it. But yes, so that's kind of scary. But otherwise, most people are actually good. I mean, taxi drivers are scary, I should say, honestly. But a general New Zealand driver is quite good. They're courteous.
They have a lot of courtesy. They give way and things like that, isn't it?
Yes, when I first came here, I was trying to cross at a pedestrian crossing, and this driver was stopping for me, and things like that didn't happen in India. And I was like, "Mom, these people are so courteous. They actually stopped for me to cross the road," which is amazing.
That is an amazing experience over here. Did you have any experience or any sort of experience which put you off, or a negative effect it had on you?
Definitely. I came here, and the second day someone came to me and said that if I paid a certain amount of money to that person, they would take care of me basically for the first month. And when I asked them what it was, they said it was something like opening a bank account and giving me a social secure, an IRD number, and taking me to WINS. And I found that rather ridiculous, because anyone can do it by themselves. So I just want to tell the new migrants here, if you want a bank account, go to the ASB bank or the National Bank and tell them, "I want to open a bank account," and they'll do it for you. You don't have to pay money to people out there, and watch out for those people who are out there to rip you off. And that was, to me, a very, very negative experience. Mm. Apart from that.
So you were actually asked for payment to guide somebody, $1,000,
yes,
to guide you how to open an account, how to get your IRD,
yes,
and things like that.
Yes.
Did you know about Citizen Advice Bureau?
No, I didn't at that time.
Okay, that is somewhere, that's a place where you can always ring up or go and ask and get any sorts of information and any sort of support, you know, in getting to do those things. And did you know about Kiwiora when you came here?
I didn't.
Do you know now about Kiviora?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay, this Kiviora is a program in which there is a free phone number.
Right.
And if you call up, and for new migrants and also refugees, that they send you packs of information.
Right.
About how to open an account, how to buy a house, everything New Zealand way of life. There are four packs which will come to you. And it has a program, sort of assessment for each pack, which is free of charge completely. You don't have to give a single cent.
Right.
And then you, at the end of, it's a 1-year program, and you get all sorts of, you know, road code book, then a map of New Zealand, what's life in New Zealand, community, wonderful, how the parliament runs, what's the governance.
Right.
You ask a question and there is an answer, and you have a case manager for yourself, and you can always talk to them and get the things done. Even if the people, migrants do not know, migrants or refugees do not know the language, then there are people who will interpret for you and make you understand. It's a wonderful program. I wish, you know.
Yes, that, I wish I had known about it. I didn't.
I think this is the thing all migrants should know about.
Right.
And second thing is Citizens Advice Bureau. That's a place you can always go or ring up and just get information. I'm just amazed to know that people are offering such services and asking for money.
Exactly.
That's good that you brought it to the notice of, you know, us that we know.
Yes.
So when you, now that you have a job.
Yes.
And place to live and everything, what would you still, what is your most aspiration or what is your goal?
I don't believe, I love the place that I work now, but I don't believe I am where I want to be. I want to work in communications, and I want to, I basically want to do something that makes a difference, and I'm working toward that goal one step at a time, and I hopefully, if I keep doing that, I will achieve that in the future.
Have you been home after coming here?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay. What would you have some sort of a message or message for the migrants?
Yes, especially to the younger ones. I say that so many people often just come here and spend a lot of money because like in many Eastern countries, you can do whatever you want to in New Zealand, and people just take their eyes off the goal and do whatever it is. That's not good. Just keep your eyes on the prize so you know for sure that you can get to where you want to be. And also, it might be hard initially, but even if you can't buy an ice cream or a cup of coffee for one day, that's fine. Just work toward your goal and you'll get there.
Do you feel cold here?
A little bit, but not very much.
That's great.
Yeah, I actually like it. I can't stand heat, so cold's good.
Sneha, many migrants feel lonely here when they come. Did you have such an experience, and how did you overcome it if you did?
Oh, definitely. I was very lonely because I didn't know anyone and everything was different, so it was very lonely. But I started making friends quite easily. Especially because I went to this church, I made a lot of friends, and they made sure that they took me out wherever they went, to movies and everywhere else, whatever else they did. And that was kind of like an anchor for me to hold on to. So if I didn't have anyone, I could always tell my friends, can we go out or do this or that? And also the fact that I knew I was here for a reason, and I knew I was here to get ahead and make have a better life for myself. So I concentrated on my goal instead of just sitting at home and crying and cribbing, because that doesn't help at all. You're here, you have to get ahead. No point in crying to your parents and saying, I want to come back home. Don't keep a step back. You've come forward. Just keep going, and then you'll get there. So I still feel lonely at times, but I always occupy myself with lots of hobbies. I watch a lot of movies. I go dancing to Siroc classes, and I swim twice a week, and I just drive whenever I feel like it, so that keeps me occupied.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know any community house or any other place where you could make friends or things like that?
You mean a migrant community house?
No, each area in the city. they have some community houses and they have got some sort of activities over there.
No, I do not, but I occupy myself in a sense. I'm a public relations graduate, so I go to Public Relations Institute of New Zealand, have programs, and I'd like to communicate with people who are doing the same thing as me. So that's one area where I just go to every Prince events and speak to the people in that area. And I love my gym and my swimming, and I meet a lot of people there as well, and church is good. So that's my community.
So I think your education has helped you
definitely
in integrating into the communities.
Definitely. If it were not for AUT's education and work there, I wouldn't have understood the way people looked at life from here. My colleagues at AUT and my lecturers used to tell me, I used to speak very, very fast, and they all used to tell me, slow down so we can understand. And even simple things like that help a lot.
What about job market and how to find job around in New Zealand?
Sure. First, when I came here, honestly, I had a master's degree, but I couldn't get any proper job. I got like random jobs and I was very disappointed. And then I found that my CV was wrong. It had a traditional migrant kind of 5-page CV, which is wrong. In New Zealand, everyone likes you to keep it short. It's something like keep it simple, stupid is something that they teach us in journalism. And also the fact that it's better you speak about your work experience in New Zealand than opposed to you being something great elsewhere, because they want to know where you stand in New Zealand. And for me, most often my job recruitment agent actually told me if he hadn't seen me, he would just throw my CV away simply because I didn't have any New Zealand experience. But now that I do, it's different. And also when you go to an interview, don't just chatter and speak fast and get nervous. I don't know if I should say this, but you are equal. You are the same as the people who've been born and lived here. You are not anything lower than them, because some people get all freaked out, especially migrants, when they see fully bred New Zealander, I should say, and they get tense. You don't have to do that. They've called you for an interview because they felt that you were worth it. So be slow and be confident, and then you'll get there.
That's a good idea and then good advice. Any other thing you would like to tell the listeners?
Yes. In a job market, I have found some people to be, when it's different, they don't want you. But I think that's life. You've decided to come to New Zealand knowing the fact that you would be different. So the best, you have two choices. You can go back and crib and cry and, do all those things. Or you can get ahead. Yes, there are hurdles. If there's someone who won't give me a job because of who I am, then I don't think they're worth it. They're not judging me for who I am and what I'm worth, but just because I don't look like them. But then there are also people out there who would like your job and who would like your knowledge and who would like you for who you are. So go there and do your best. I try to give my 110%, I should say. If someone does 100%, I always try to be 110% to prove to them, yes, I can do it as well.
So perseverance pays.
Definitely perseverance pays. There were a lot of hurdles I had to face when I came here initially. First was with this person who wanted money, and I was like, what is happening to me? And secondly was when I couldn't find a good job. I thought to myself, am I not worth it? Because I've studied so much. And thirdly, it was I did not have anyone here. And that was hard. And I'm sure many people out there, you would be like that. But I believe that for every problem there is a solution, and if you really search hard, you will be able to find the solution to yourself. The way I found a solution is firstly by starting an education for myself so I can get a New Zealand qualification. And secondly, putting myself out there to the employers and telling them, yes, I can do it. I remember calling, I've met 5 or 6 CEOs of different public relations companies, and I'd call them till they make sure that they'd give me an interview. And it's not easy. There is a fine line between being in your face and being persevering. And one CEO, she said to me, now I know your face. You're not just a piece of paper to me. So try that. It is hard, but trust me, they love it. Don't be in their face, but just keep persevering till you get there. And thirdly, it's making friends. Yes, it is good to just stick to your own family and the people you've known all your life, but you would never become a full-bred New Zealander if you did that. Try to go to community houses, and mostly it's free of charge, and sometimes it might be $1 or $2. Just do that. Or go out with your friends from university, or go out with your workmates and get to know what they like and what they don't like. I boarded for a year with a New Zealander family, and they basically taught me, if you said this, it won't be good. If you did not say it, it won't be good. When you go for dinner, taking a plate does not mean taking an empty plate. It means taking some salad or some meat. Things like that might sound very simple, but you and I, coming from a different culture, we probably wouldn't know that. So I found, if you're a single person, I strongly would encourage you to live with someone who's been in New Zealand all their lives, so you can actually learn from them. And also social groups like churches or your other mosque or your temples or everything else that that you associate with. You don't have to go to a church, just because I went. I associated with it, so I went. So you might have a certain place that you associate with and people with your own mind and likeness. Go there and tell them, see, I don't know what this means. Can you tell me what this means? People are not going to think you're stupid. They would think that you are trying to learn their way of life, which is not a bad thing. I believe for me, when someone sees me now, they'd be like, you must be Indian, but you've lived here all your life. But that's not because, it doesn't mean that I'm not proud to be Indian, but I'm equally proud to be a New Zealander, because I've managed to grasp both the cultures together. And if I wanted to be 100% only who I am, I would have lived in my house. I wouldn't have immigrated here. And I think if you try to do that, getting a job and integrating into society would be much easier for you.
So networking is really important.
Definitely.
Okay, did you have any problem with the food, finding food of your choice or getting used to the food here? Because most of the migrants, they have this problem.
Yes, initially it was very hard. I tried to go out to food courts to eat. I'm Indian, so an Indian food. But it wasn't like at home. But then for me, the one thing that helped me most was, I believe, is living with the family, because the lady at the house, she used to cook dinner for us. So, and I had to eat it whether I liked it or not. So I got used to the kind of food, and it's actually helped me, because when you're here, you need to be able to eat what is there. So it was good.
Are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not. Okay,
that must have helped you quite
definitely
a lot.
Okay.
When you talk about jobs and being persevering, how did you talk to these people? Because sometimes they just don't talk to you on phone. If you want to the CEOs and to take an appointment or something like that, what did you do? What's our magic?
Yes, for me, what helped me was my education. So I would just call them and say, hi, this is Sneha from the Auckland University of Technology, and I would like to have an appointment with you. And they say, I'm busy today. And I'd say, okay, so is tomorrow fine? No, tomorrow's not fine. So can I give you a call tomorrow evening just to confirm and see when you're free the next time? And I found, at least in public relations, they were so open to people who wanted to be out there and who wanted to put themselves out there. So initially it was very hard, but it helped.
So you have to send your CV first and then ask for an appointment, or just ask for an appointment?
Just sending your CV, hi, this is my CV, will not help, because I know after working here, you get hundreds of CVs every day. It goes directly to the bin. What I did was I called up each person introduced myself to them, and they asked me, why do you want to meet with us? I said, see, I'm not looking for a job right now, but before I look for a job, I want to know how this industry would be. And you, being an experienced person as you are, would give me the good advice that I need. So can I please have your advice? And people love giving advice. So they'll give you their time when you approach
them. This is a wonderful tip. That's a lovely tip. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd just like to say one thing before we leave. Don't get discouraged. Just keep your eyes on the prize and you will get there for sure. All the best to all of you listening out there.
Thank you for being with us, Sneha.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful having you with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. And remember to tune in next Sunday, 7:10. In the evening, 104.6 FM. And have a good week. See you next week. Bye for now.